Hey, what are you saying? I'm saying I profess, boasting or not, I profess to properly evaluate this book. I think this book is more important than your nation or your country or your church or your family or you or me. Matthew 19:28. And Jesus said to them, Verily I say unto you, that ye which have followed me in the regeneration, when the Son of Man, underline it, shall sit in the throne of glory, you'll sit upon 12 thrones judging the 12 tribes of Israel on the ground of the dirt when he comes back. You doubt it yet? Matthew 25, take one more shot and drive home the nail. It's a 12-penny nail. Matthew 25, verse 31. When the Son of Man shall come in his glory, there is, mine eyes have seen the glory of the coming of the Lord. You're a dirty liar, you old scumbucket. You ought to stick your head in the sand. The lies are marching on, hip, hip, hip. Well, that poor, stupid, demon-possessed woman never saw the Lord coming in glory. He hadn't come in glory yet. You know who saw him come in glory? John. Book of Revelation. Julia Ward Howe. Matthew 25:31. Now, see what I did then? See how rude I was to you then? You know what I did just then? I put that book above Julia Ward Howe and the Battle Hymn of the Republic. And that's where it belongs. Let me tell you, I'll get off there. When you really get to know the Lord in this book, the heroes of this world get mighty dim. They're mighty dim. They just fade and fade, or there just ain't much left to them. All right, 31. When the Son of Man shall come in his glory, and all the holy angels with them. You didn't recognize that, did you? That's you. In the resurrection, they are the angels of God. They ain't the Lord is Christ. When he shall appear, we shall be like him. You come back with the Lord. And all the angels with him, underline it. Then shall he sit upon, underline it, the throne of his glory. He's not on it now. He gets it when he comes back. And the throne of his glory is David's throne at Jerusalem and Mount Zion. You know what's there right now? The Mosque of Omar. All right, now that's Return to Captivity, and we'll finish the Mosaic Covenant next time and see what happens to this earth when the right king is in the right place. All right. Amos chapter 9, Old Testament. Now, we've been studying the covenants, and we're on the Mosaic Covenant, which is a long covenant. I spent a lot of time on it because, after all, three-quarters of the Bible is that covenant. That covenant doesn't begin with Exodus, the second book, but that covenant goes clear through Matthew to Matthew 26, clear through Mark to Mark 13, clear through Luke to Luke 23, and clear through John to chapter 19. It goes through four New Testament books three-quarters of the way. So actually, three-quarters of your Bible is the Mosaic Covenant. It's called the Law and the Prophets, it's called. Sometimes the term law is applied not merely to the five books of Moses, the Torah, the law, but sometimes it's applied just to Deuteronomy, because Deuteronomy is the second giving of the law. Sometimes the term law is applied to the whole Old Testament. For example, you're told in John chapter 1, the law came by Moses, but grace and truth by Jesus Christ. He included he'll put the whole thing up to Jesus Christ under law. So the Mosaic law is a lengthy thing, and it lasts much longer than the Day of Grace. The Day of Grace is only 2,000 years long, or a few over 2,000 so far. But that law goes, that cotton picking law, it goes over five, 1,500 years. That's a thing and a half, and then it comes back in the millennium for 1,000 years. We'll get into that later. No, God not through the Mosaic Law. All right, the Mosaic covenant is the one that John the Baptist is born under. The law and the prophets are until John. All right, John gets his head cut off. Then something should take the place of the law then. It doesn't right away. Christ institutes the new covenant at the Lord's Supper, but it isn't in effect till he dies. So between the death of John the Baptist and the death of Christ, there's an intermediate place there where you can't get your hand on it doctrinally, because Christ dies under the law. Christ hath redeemed us from the curse of the law, being made a curse for us, blotting out the handwriting of orders against us, contrary to us, took it out of the way, nailing it to the cross. So the cross, in effect, passed John. And when Christ says the law and the prophets are until John, he's coming up to the ministry of John the Baptist, but John gets his head cut off. The law goes on till Christ dies on the cross, and when Christ dies on the cross, then that makes it possible for something new to come in. That's the covenant is not in effect, the testament, until the testator is dead.
Right.
Now, that means when you pick up your Bible, you read Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, you're reading the Old Testament. Up to Matthew 26 and Mark 13, Luke 23 and John 19. That is, the Old Testament is in effect until Christ dies. Then the New Testament is in force. And the first man to be saved under the New Testament, you might guess who it'd be a thief.
Yeah.
The first man who dies after Christ dies as a believer is the dying thief. His other buddy, I don't know how he made out, but his other buddy never trusted Christ. The dying thief did. And when he did, Christ was dead, because when the soldiers came by to break the legs, they found that Christ was dead already, so they didn't break his legs, which means the new covenant that replaced the old is in effect at the death of Christ. Up to the death of Christ, Old Testament. You say, well, why do we call Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John New Testament? Because they record the death, burial, and resurrection of Christ, and that's the New Testament. But they had to tell his whole life to do it, you see. Now, I say that because you can get messed up doctrinally, in Matthew. And you can get off some places in Mark and Luke, like the prodigal son. This my son was dead. A son of God can't be dead spiritually. He's alive. He doesn't ever die. He that liveth and believeth on me shall never die. And if you were dead, he's going to live physically. You get the prodigal son, he was dead and is alive. He was lost, a lost son. The Son of Man has come to seek and save that which is lost. You're not a lost son. How many of you are sons of God? Let me see your hands. Well, you can't die spiritually and you can't get lost. But you can in Luke, before the crucifixion. See that thing? Now, that's one of the greatest keys you'll ever get a hold of in studying your Bible. And the Mosaic law we're on now comes into effect with Moses. I've read you through that. And the Mosaic law is conditional. I read you that. And under the conditions of the Mosaic law, the Jews can lose the land of Palestine. Under the Abrahamic covenant, they couldn't. The Abrahamic covenant is unconditional. And when God promised Abraham to give him the land of Palestine in the Middle East, that has no conditions attached to it, which means it will take place as sure as you're sitting in that chair or that pew. But for the nation, Abraham wasn't a nation, he was a man. But to the nation, it was conditional. You obey God, you'll stay in the land. You disobey God, you'll get kicked out of the land. But it can't be permanent. So last Sunday when I was here, we checked verse in the Bible to show there's two returns from the captivity. And I gave them to you. And the first one is under Ezra and Nehemiah, where they're coming back from Sennacherib and Nebuchadnezzar. And the next one is up in 1948, when they went back under the Balfour Declaration, put up the State of Israel in 1948. The gap between those two is 2,500 years. What do you make of a book that can prophesy details 2,500 years ahead of time?
Yeah.
Muhammad couldn't prophesy them 50 years ahead of time. That poor sucker didn't know where he's going when he died and said so. I don't know what Allah will do with me. Well, you got a dumb God or you got a dumb prophet. I don't know which. Maybe both. But what we're going to start through now is 50 verses to show you that whoever wrote this book could get all the history and give you at least 50 or 60 verses that haven't taken place yet, and that's one-tenth of the verses. There are 500 of them. All right, here we go. Amos chapter 9, here we go. Amos chapter 9, verse 14. I will bring again the captivity of my people Israel. 1948. They shall build the waste cities, 1950 and 60. Inhabit them, 1979 and 80. They shall plant vineyards and drink the wine thereof. They shall make gardens and eat the fruit thereof. And I will plant them upon their land, 1948. And they shall no more be pulled up out of their land, which I have given them, saith the Lord my God. Amen. They're there to stay.
That's right.
All right, Ezekiel chapter 39. Come back to the left. Get Ezekiel 39. What I read you there could be temporary, but this, I ain't going to do it here. Now, Ezekiel chapter 39, verse 21. And I will set my glory among the heathen, and all the heathen shall see my judgment, haven't yet, that I have executed in my hand, that I have laid upon them. He's going to lay it on shortly. So the house of Israel shall know that I am the Lord their God from that day forward. They don't know it now. And the heathen shall know the house of Israel went to captivity for their iniquity, because they trespassed against me. Therefore I hid my face from them. Matthew 13, a man found a treasure, Israel, hidden in the field, the world. So he went and hid. He didn't hide the treasure. He found the treasure in the field. Then he hid. That's right there. I had my face. Hid my face from them and gave them the hand of enemies, so they fell by all by the sword 2,000 years. According to their uncleanness and according to their transgressions I had done to them, and hid my face from them. Therefore, now I will bring again the captivity of Jacob. It's going to come back. Bring again the captivity of Jacob. Have mercy upon the whole house of Israel. 26, after they have borne their shame and all their trespasses where they have trespassed against me, when they dwell safely in the land, hadn't happened, and none shall make them afraid. Hadn't happened. Then it's prophecy. When I brought them again from the people, he did, got them out of their enemies' lands, which he did, and am sanctified in them in the sight of that many nations. He hadn't yet, but he will be. Then shall they know that I am the Lord their God, which caused them to be led into captivity among the heathen, but I have gathered them to their own land, have left none of them any more there. All the Jews go back to Palestine, and the ones that don't get killed. Neither will I hide my face any more from them, for I have poured out my spirit upon the house of Israel, saith the Lord God, and it didn't happen at Pentecost. It happens in Joel at the Advent. All right, Jeremiah, come back to the left. Jeremiah chapter 3. Jeremiah chapter 3. I think it's Jeremiah chapter 3. I get these numbers here. I get all messed up. Jeremiah chapter 3. No, that ain't it. That's the wrong reference. I'll try Jeremiah chapter 32. That'll be a right one. Jeremiah chapter 32. Jeremiah chapter 2, verse 37. God called me to preach a book and teach a book that has numbers all the way through it. I never could have numbers, handle numbers worth a flip. I'm writing a reference Bible out right now, and I'm finding I'm dealing with something like, every 10 seconds, I'm dealing with four numbers. So I'm dealing with, 60 seconds. 40? 240? All right, how many? 40, and how many in an hour? 60? 2,400? 2,400 an hour. And then having to not just deal with the thing, but be looking at the reference that I'm turning to. And I get messed up, I'll kid you not. Because I'll have to take volume 1 or volume 2, volume 3 of my Bible, Matthew 24, chapter 15, the third word in the second paragraph, to see appendices 37, number 6, with references in Joshua 2, 7, and Isaiah 34, 5. Blah, 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 blah. I don't know where I'm at, man. I'm dealing with something like now, something I have to do with 1,200 pages, and it'll take you 5 minutes to read the numbers on the page, each page, without looking it up. And so I got a reference on Jeremiah there that's just false. Now, I know probably what I intended, and that pastor, I probably intended to give you Jeremiah chapter 3, verse 17. Oh, no, here, I just got the wrong start on it. Go back to Jeremiah 3. I see now what I did. I got started too early. Jeremiah chapter 3, verse 12. Go and proclaim these words toward the north and say, Return thou backsliding Israel, I will not cause mine anger to fall upon you. For I am merciful, saith the Lord, I will not keep anger forever. Only acknowledge thine iniquities. Verse 14, Turn, O backsliding children, for I am married to you. That's God's wife. Step man on him. I am married to you. They put away and gave her a bill of divorcement in Hosea. I'll take you one of your city to a family and bring you to Zion and give you passes according to mine heart. 16, it shall come to pass when you be multiplied, increased in the land. There we go. In those days, what will happen? The ark of the covenant of the Lord shall not come into mind. You won't remember it. You won't visit it. Neither shall that be done anymore. No more ark of the Lord. Why? Because you don't need the ark of the Lord anymore. That's where God revealed his presence in the tabernacle. When this takes place, God's presence is in the tabernacle. They're sitting there looking at you. Verse 17, here's my verse. At that time, they shall call Jerusalem the throne of the Lord. He's there. You don't need the ark. And all nations shall be gathered unto it, to the name of the Lord, if Jesus Christ, at Jerusalem. Neither shall they walk any more after imagination or evil heart. In those days the house of Judah shall walk with the house of Israel. They shall come together out of the land of the north, Russia, to the land that I have given for an inheritance unto your fathers. There it is. All right, now, Jeremiah 32. Jeremiah 32, 37. Here he goes again. Behold, I will gather them out of all the countries, whither I have driven them in mine anger, in my fury and great wrath. I will bring them again unto this place, and I will cause them to dwell what?
Safe.
Are they safe now?
No.
Then it's prophecy. Now, he's already given you about 10 of them, and he's just starting. Verse 38, and they shall be my people, and I'll be their God. I will give them one heart and one way. They may fear me forever for the good of them and of their children after them. And I will make, underline it, an everlasting covenant. That's what he said the covenant of Abraham was in Genesis 15. An everlasting covenant. That's what Psalm 105 said. The everlasting covenant is they get the Middle East.
Amen.
They get Canaan, Syria, Lebanon, northern Saudi Arabia, the East Bank and the West Bank, Sinaitic Peninsula, down the Nile. An everlasting covenant. And I will not turn away from them to do them good. I'll put my fear in their hearts, and they shall not depart from me. Yea, I will rejoice over them to do them good, and I will plant them in this land, assuredly, with my whole heart and with my soul. Now, you reckon when God makes up his mind to do something with all his heart and soul, a little bunch of cookies down in New York going to get in the way? Or to the graham cracker crumbs in a barrel? He said, the nations are like a drop of a bucket, and they're less than nothing. Verse 42, like as I have brought all this great evil upon this people, he sure did. You had 20 centuries of it. So will I bring upon them all the good I have promised them, restoration. And fields shall be bought in the land, and so forth and so on. All right, there they're going back. Now, what's going to happen when they go back? Well, a number of things, and about 8 things happen, and we won't have time to cover them today. We'll take 2 or 3. All right, the first thing is turn to the book of Acts in the New Testament. And the first thing that's going to happen is all of Israel's sins are going to be blotted out. And believe me, they've had plenty of them. Your average Jew today is an atheist. Acts chapter 3, these sins are going to be blotted out. For over 2,000 years, the Jewish rabbis teaching the Babylonian Talmud, the Jerusalem Talmud, and the protocol, the learned elders have been teaching that Jesus Christ is a bastard and his mother was a prostitute. And all that's just going to go. Acts chapter 3, the first one is the sins will be blotted out. Acts chapter 3, Simon Peter preaching. Repent therefore and be converted. When? That your sin may be blotted out. When? Not at Calvary. That's a revelation given to Paul. It isn't given to Peter here. He hadn't got it. Repent, therefore, and be converted, that your sin may be blotted out, when the times of refreshing shall come from the presence of the Lord. He comes back. He'll send Jesus. He's coming back. which was before preached to you, whom the heaven must receive. He's up there, he's coming back. Until the times of restitution, which God has spoken by the mouth of all his holy prophets since the world began. Now, if you are preaching today to somebody like I do in jails or like you do in the street, would you give 19 as the plan of salvation? Why, of course not. Well, that's the fellow who preached at Pentecost. Why would you tell him what Peter said at Pentecost if he didn't know what he was talking about? He didn't know what he was talking about as far as what he had revealed to him. But what is revealed to you wasn't revealed to Simon Peter in Acts 2 and 3. How do you know it? You just read it. Now see how folks the Bible all screwed up? Matthew, Acts, and Hebrews. That's where you blow it. You get in Acts and think, well, here's this salvation. That ain't your salvation. Do you think I go down there and folks say, repent so you can get converted when Christ comes back? I'm not telling them that. I say, repent and believe the gospel. Your sins are taken care of. You can get them washed away right now. I don't tell them I got to wait till Christ comes back. But that nation does. All right, that's the first one. They get the sin blotted out. All right, the next thing, they all get converted. They all get converted. He said, be converted. Okay, they all obey him. 100%, all the Jews get saved. Hebrews chapter 8. Come to the right, get Hebrews chapter 8. They all get saved, the whole nation. Every Jew alive when Christ comes back gets converted to Jesus Christ and accepts him as his Messiah. Boy, God's going to put them in a place where they'll be so glad to him you couldn't describe. To see him, you don't be like, it's like the movies you watch. You watch at the end of the Western movie, and you know, the Indians are surrounding the settlers, going to get them killed, and then way off the distance, here comes the cavalry, you know, at the last minute. No, everybody's just, you know, hilarious to see him. It's like MacArthur's troops entering the prison, Bildad Prison in Manila, where American prisoners have been starving to death and they're tortured. And those emaciated characters, some of them died of too much joy. They screamed, died. It's like liberation of the concentration camps, where the people are so glad to see them, they just went half crazy, and some of them killed themselves drinking too much milk because the stomachs couldn't hold it. And when that Christ comes back, you won't find him a Jew won't be just screaming praises. Amen. Blessed be he that cometh in the name of the Lord. Amen. That's what Christ said when he walked out of the temple. You'll not see me again till you say, blessed be he that cometh in the name of the Lord. All right, here, Hebrews chapter 8. Now they all get saved. Prophecy. I've given you over 20 of them already, and I'm about halfway through. Now this thing here is going to have at least 10 more in it. Hebrews chapter 8, verse 8. For finding fault with them, who's the them? Well, it's the Old Testament. Verse 5, Moses, the Mosaic Covenant. Verse 8, days come, saith the Lord, when I'll make a new covenant, not with the Christian and not with the church. This new covenant is not the one where he's at the table and talks about this is the blood, my blood, in the New Testament, the New Covenant. That's going to be necessary. But this is the second half of that covenant, and it's not to a Christian of the church. So all the commentators blew it. You say, how many? 100%. I say 100%. Maybe Bullinger and Stamm and Larkin might get it. That's three out of maybe 50,000 commentators. They'll all tell you this is the New Covenant you're saved under. It's in the New Testament, isn't it? You know the problem? It ain't written to you.
That's right. Yeah.
What's the name of that book?
Hebrew.
Say it again.
Hebrew.
You a Hebrew? All right, if you were a Hebrew, you'd have a problem with this. Look at verse 8. I'll make a new covenant not with an individual Hebrew, the house of Israel.
Right.
Well, that's a political division. Israel's the racial division. The house of Israel, the 10 northern tribes that defected under Rehoboam. And the house of Judah, that's the 2 southern tribes that stayed with Rehoboam. Political divisions. That's a covenant that applies to a nation as a political unity. You say, how do you know? Because I can read. I learned how to read when I went to school. They taught you how to read. Verse 9. Not according to the covenant I made with their fathers, nation, in the day when I took them, the nation, to lead them out of the hand of Egypt, nation, because they continue not my covenant, Old Testament, broke it. I regarded them not, saith the Lord, but this is the covenant I will make with the house of Israel after those days. That time he said it's singular, like it applied to Judah too. I'll put my laws in their mind. Hadn't happened. Write them in their hearts. Hadn't happened. I'll be to them a God, they shall be to them. Hadn't happened. And they shall not teach every man his neighbor and every man his brother, saying, know the Lord. But you're taught that. You're taught to witness. That covenant isn't for you. You say, well, can I claim verse 10 spiritually? Yeah, but you couldn't claim verse 11, or you'd have to keep your mouth shut. Look at verse 11. All know me from the least to the greatest? Oh, come on. You're British Israelite? You think the British English-speaking people are Israel? You do? Well, how come all of them aren't saved? It says they'll all know me. Every Israelite will know me from the least to the greatest, so you shouldn't witness to them, because they're all converted. Is that your commission? Of course not. You see, when you approach this book, you have to have a negative slant. You have to have a critical slant. You don't come to it to criticize it. See, you come to it to learn what belongs and what doesn't belong, so what doesn't belong doesn't get in the wrong place. But to do that, you have to be critical. You have to say, does this apply to me? Does it or does it not? How could this be me if it says this? Skeptical. How could this be me if it says that? And then get in the right place. If you're positive, oh, well, this is a blessing, and I got such a blessing in this scripture, and this one too, and this one means a lot of me, you know. So Sarah begat Isaac. Oh, isn't that a blessing to think about that? Cockeyed nuts. And the mind is just trying to make everything into a nice, smooth, acceptable, positive, sweet, boiling muddle of nothing. You've got to cut it. That's negative. Divide. Amen. Rightly divide.
Amen.
Isolation, division, separation, cuss words. Without him, you can't even understand your Bible. Amen, amen, amen. I listen to this FM station a good bit, two or three of them, Christian FM station. They have one guy over there, I believe he does Patch the Pirate or something. My wife said he did. And he's made some songs now, sings some songs, and he's Patch the Pirate, probably good kid stuff for a kid to listen to. But he's one of these kind of Captain Kangaroo type fellows. And that fruit that took over that thing after he was through with it. And the stuff is good, but it's all just smooth, slick, creamy, honey, slime. No matter what hymn you sing, it's always the same level and the same tone, the same way. It'll be like my faith looks up to thee, thou Lamb of Calvary, hear me, I pray. We have heard the joyful sound, Jesus saves, Jesus saves, Rock of Ages, cleft for me. Shut up. All right, verse 11. Know the Lord, for all know me, from the least to the greatest. For I will be merciful to their unrighteousness, their sins and iniquities I'll remember no more. Now, you know why you think that's for you? Because in the two chapters later, that verse is applied to you in Hebrews 10. Without the rest of the context. Tricky. The Lord's a trickster. He'll put that take out of the covenant and pull in a Christian in Hebrews chapter 10 and leave that thing aimed at a Jew in Hebrews chapter 8. One word when he wants to prove a point. He'll leave out 17 words just like that. I can show you a dozen places where he does it. He got a right to mess with his own book. He wrote it. All right, now the next thing. The sin they're blotted out and all are converted. If they're all converted, let's find it in the Old Testament. Back to Ezekiel chapter 36. They're all converted. Ezekiel chapter 36, beginning at 24. You see how much Bible you miss when you quit reading the Old Testament? What you miss is what's going to happen in the next 10 years. Or maybe 7. Or maybe 4. Just get through the tribulation and you're in this stuff. Ezekiel 36, 24. For I will take you from among the heathen, 1917, 1948, and gather you out of all countries and will bring you into your own land. How come the scholars didn't see that in 1500, 1600, 1700? How come the Catholics never taught it? How come when Theodore Herzl tried the back to the Zion movement, and him and Herzl and that bunch got together and tried to bring back, let the Jews go back to the land, how come the worst opponent they had was the Roman Catholic Church and Islam? If they're so bright, how come they didn't know their own book? A Muslim claims to believe the Old Testament. He don't believe what I'm reading you. A Catholic professes to believe the Old Testament. He professed to be able to fix the canon of the Old Testament. Roman Catholic Church teaches there are seven books that should be in the Old Testament aren't there. That's how authoritative he is and can't understand what he reads for 2,000 years. 24, and gather them out of the countries and bring them to their own land. They did come. Paragraph, that'll blow it. From here on, it hadn't happened yet. Then I will sprinkle clean water upon you, and you shall be clean. Not yet. From all your filthiness, not yet. From all your idols, I will cleanse you. Not yet. A new heart will I give you, a new spirit. They all get converted. I'll put within you, I will take away the stony heart out of your flesh and give you a heart of flesh. I'll put my spirit within you. Pour out his spirit in all flesh. Put my spirit in you, millennium. Cause you to walk my statutes, you shall keep my judgments and do them, and ye shall dwell in the land I gave to your fathers, Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, and you shall be my people, and I will be your God. They're all converted. All right, come to Zechariah. They're all converted. We're still on this. They're all converted. Zechariah chapter 13. They're so converted that nobody's allowed to preach anymore. They're not to tell their neighbor to know the Lord because they're all going to know him. And if a fellow says you need to know the Lord, you kill him. Zechariah chapter 13. But that isn't in the Sword of the Lord conferences. They're not going to teach you any Bible. They might get you stirred up to help build up the attendance and membership and thank God for that, the enrollment, and motivate you and thank God for that. But Bible study, as Santa Claus said coming down the chimney, ho, 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 ho. Zechariah 13, verse 2. It shall come to pass in that day, saith the Lord of hosts, I will cut off the names of the idols out of the land, and they shall no more be remembered. I will cause the prophets and the unclean spirit to pass out of the land. And it shall come to pass that when any shall yet prophesy, that his mother, his father, and his mother that begat him, shall say to him, thou shalt not live. For thou speakest lies in the name of the Lord, and his father and his mother shall cut off his head or cut his guts out. Either kill your own boy. Just like that. He loves me, he loves me, he loves me, he loves me. Oh, he loves everybody. Oh, love, love, love. Yeah, mom and daddy, kill you. Cut your guts out. Some of you looking at it like you don't even believe you read it. It's right there. God is not a man that he should lie.
That's right, yeah.
Neither son of man should he repent.
Right.
Hath he said and he shall not do it, or hath he spoken and shall he not make it good?
Amen.
But what if some did not believe? Shall the unbelief make the faith of God without effect? God forbid, let God be true and every man a liar.
Amen.
And why do you hear to God's words? Don't you hear God's words?
That's
you hear
right.
them not because you're not a God.
Come on.
Right,
yeah.
Tough row. T.S. Tough situation. All right, now the next thing that happens. That's a private joke, folks. The next thing that happens, they all get converted. They get their sins blotted out. And the next thing is their enemies all have to leave the land. They have a land without an enemy. Enemies in it. Psalm 46, right in the middle of your book. Psalm 46, right in the middle of your book. Get the chaplain to punch your card, the rest of it. Psalm 46. Psalm 46, beginning at verse 6. The heathen raged. There, the heathen. You say, what's that? Europe, Asia, Africa, and North, South, Central America. That's the heathen. Raged. The kingdoms were moved. He uttered his voice. The earth melted. The Lord of hosts is with us, the Jew says. Who is he? He's the God of Jacob. Not spiritual Isaac and a spiritual Jew. Get off it. Jacob. Come, behold the works of the Lord. What desolations he hath made in the earth. Boy, brethren, if you could see how this earth is going to look after 42 years of tribulation, it puts your hair on end.
Yeah.
You talk about a little old hurricane, a little old minor, little old major winds of 300 miles an hour. That's kid stuff.
That's right. Yes, sir.
You wait till the Lord unleashes the whole thing, boy,
right,
and starts dropping hailstones 8 pounds apiece, boy, for 48 hours
yeah.
over a square land area of 20,000 miles. You watch what happens to the environmental program when God gets through with it. All right, Psalm 46, verse 9. He maketh wars to cease. Well, there, that's what the UN tried to do. He makes wars to cease. Well, there, now we got it. He makes wars to cease to the end of the earth. He breaketh the bow and cutteth the spear in sunder, burneth the chariot in the fire. Well, there, that's what the UN said it was going to do. It was going to get rid of their weapons and put them in the pruning hooks and stuff, and then they're going to bring peace on earth, and nation wasn't going to study nation war anymore, and peace on earth was going to come. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done. Peace on earth, goodwill to men. See, there it is. It comes. Sure it's going to come. You know when it's going to come? It's going to come when the king comes. All right. Be still and know that I am God. I will be exalted among the heathen. I will be exalted in the earth. Not up in heaven. Down here. The Lord of hosts is with us. The God of Jacob is our refuge. Obviously the Jew. All right, Ezekiel 39:17. I'm already up into 40 somewhere. I'm not counting them. If you get a pen or a pencil and count them, I said 50 this time, but I probably got a 50 already, and I'm not halfway through. Ezekiel 39. Verse 17, this has to do with our enemies. Now this time, just to show you how the great difference between the God of the Bible and Allah, the word Allah means the God, according to all the Arabic scholars, is not his name. One bunch of scholars say his name is Allah, and they're just pulling your leg, because when you push them down hard, they say it doesn't mean that. The word Allah means the God. You say, what's his name? He hadn't got any name. They say his name is Allah. What does that mean? The God. What's his name? The God. So, well, the God? Which God? Well, the God. What's his name? I know his name. The Old Testament is Jehovah. I know his name in the New Testament is Jesus. You know what Jesus means? Jehovah saves. I'm a Jehovah Witness. All right, Ezekiel chapter 39, verse 17. Now, here's Israel's enemies. And thou, son of man, speak to every feathered fowl, talk to the birds, to every beast of the field, and you say this, assemble yourselves, come and gather yourselves on every side to my sacrifice. And this ain't Calvary. I do sacrifice for you, and that ain't Calvary. A great sacrifice upon the mountains, plural, not Calvary, of Israel, that you may eat flesh and drink blood like a Roman Catholic Sunday morning. How's that? Ain't that something? They said the mass of sacrifice. There's a buzzard roost. You shall eat the flesh of the mighty and drink the blood of princes of the earth, of rams, lambs, goats, bullocks, fatlings of Bashan. You shall eat to your full and drink blood till you be drunken of my sacrifice, which I sacrifice for you. And that's what the Catholic priest claims every Sunday morning at 11 o'clock. Thus shall you be filled at my table with horses and chariots and mighty men, with all men of war. I'll set my glory among the heathen, and all the heathen, all, get that, all the heathen shall see my judgment that I have executed in my hand. I have laid on them. Laid on them. So the house of Israel shall know that I am the Lord their God from that day and forward, and the heathen shall know that, so forth and so on. Now, if you put what you think of right there, you've got 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, count the animals, 7, 8, 9, 10, then 11, then 12, 13, and two items, 14, 15, 16, four items, with all men of war, of 17, and then 18, and then 19, and 20, and 21, and 22, and 23. I got 23 items right there. And that's just one section. Whoever wrote this book is sitting up here somewhere beyond the year 2,000, 3,000, got to account for the millennium and the White Throne Judgment. He's sitting up somewhere beyond 3,000, and then he's recording what he saw when a guy shows up back here in That'll be around 585-90 B.C., 500 years before the birth of Christ. He's telling what's going to take place. All right, we'll take about time for one more this morning. No more ungodliness. No more ungodliness. Isaiah chapter 62. No more ungodliness. For right now, they're said to be enemies of the gospel. But they're going to be not only friends of the gospel, they're going to be have no ungodliness. They're going to be sinlessly pure in God's sight. This will be Isaiah chapter 62. Isaiah chapter 62, verse 11. Isaiah 62, verse 11. I'll make it 7. Get 7 first. I'll make it 6. It's all good. It's one sentence. Isaiah 62, 6. I have set watchmen upon thy walls, O Jerusalem, city of peace, which shall never hold their peace day or night. Ye that make mention of the Lord, keep not silence. Witness. Give him no rest. Keep God upset. Keep him awake. Give him no rest. Be importune. Knock at the door till he brings the bread down. Give him no rest till he establish and till he make Jerusalem the capital of the Palestinian state for the Muslims. That's Bush's roadmap. Got the wrong roadmap, son. You're going to go off in a culvert in about a minute. All right, in the same passage, verse 11. Behold, the Lord hath proclaimed to the end of the world, say to the daughter of Zion, thy salvation cometh. Behold, his reward is with him and his work before him. And they shall call them the holy people, that's Israel, the redeemed of the Lord, that's Israel. A city not forsaken, that'll be Jerusalem. That'll be Jerusalem. Right now the Muslims try to take it over. All right, no more ungodliness, because when he comes back, they're redeemed, and the place is peaceful, and their enemies are gone out of the land. And then that isn't all. Romans chapter 11. Romans chapter 11. Verse 28. This is the crucial passage. New Testament. Romans 11. Been sitting right there in print since Paul died. It's been printed, recorded in 68 A.D., 2 years before the destruction of Jerusalem. And this past year reading has been available to be read, and it now can be read in 600 different languages anywhere in the world. And the passage tells you exactly what's going to happen to the Gentiles. They're going to get wiped out because they're ignorant and conceited. Romans 11, verse 25. I would not, brethren, you should be ignorant of this mystery, lest you be wise in your own conceits, ignorance and egotism. What is it about? It's that blindness in part has happened to Israel until the fullest of the Gentiles come in, and so all Israel shall be saved. Every one of them. As it is written, there shall come out of Zion, Peter in Acts chapter 3, he's gone, he's coming back, and shall turn away ungodliness. All ungodliness is gone from Jacob. For this is my covenant, Hebrews chapter 8. This is my covenant I make when I take away their sins, the nation, Hebrews chapter 8. You just read it. As concerning the gospel, they're enemies for your sakes. The Jews are an enemy of the gospel right now. But as touching the election, they are beloved for the Father's sake, for the gifts and calling of God without repentance. Now, what's going to be your attitude if you're ignorant and you're conceited? How sure it's going to happen. Romans chapter 11. Romans chapter 11, boast 18. Boast not against the branches, but if thou boast, not the root, Israel, but the root, thee. Thou wilt say their branches were broken off, the Jews, that I might be grafted in. Well, because of unbelief they were broken off, rejected Christ. And thou standest, the Gentiles, by faith. Not talking about an individual getting converted, talking about nations. The Gentile nations, they've been going by faith. Be not high-minded, stuck on yourself, but fear, don't be stupid. For if God spared not the natural branches, the 12 tribes of Israel, take heed, lest he spare not Germany, England, the United States, Norway, Sweden, Japan, China, Pakistan, Afghanistan, Liberia, Portugal, Spain, the rest of it. Behold, therefore, the goodness, look out, and severity. It isn't just God is love. That's the goodness. The severity is our God's a consuming fire. A charismatic has a lopsided God. He's a moral pervert. He only has one set of morals. Goody, goody, two shoes. Tinkerbell. No people killing each other, eating each other. Isaiah 6. No women boiling their own kids to eat them. Lamentation 2. Yeah, that's not there. Severity. But toward the goodness to the Gentiles, if you continue in his goodness. That is, get rid of the Ten Commandments, take them out of school, don't let the kid carry a Bible, don't read the Bible, pervert the Bible, make 200 perversions of it, and then expect, you know, God to be good to you. If thou continue in his goodness, otherwise thou shalt be what? Say it again. Let me say it again. I want to hear you cut your throat. Say it again. That's us, Gentiles. You say, well, you're included. Yeah, I'm included. Yeah, I know exactly what it means. If I'm in this country and the Lord tarries much longer, I know exactly what's going to happen. And it could just well hit me as hit you. Or just well hit you as anybody else. But this country can't live like it's living and get away with it. And I just showed you why. All right, we'll take a break there. All right, we're on the restoration of Israel in the Mosaic Covenant. This will be the last session we'll have on it, and this shows when the Jews finally come back, they do more than just come back. They take over the whole earth. And an interesting thing in this is found in Romans, which we'll turn to in a minute. We'll have a word of prayer. Father, I want to thank you for taking care of our people, and especially the little ones, and the frail one, and the sick one, and the older one that couldn't get around too well. We thank you for protecting them and watching over them. We're sorry you had to do what you did to Pensacola. We know we had it coming. We have more coming. We know we're going to get it if we don't straighten out. And Lord, our trust is in thee. We don't look to the government. We don't look to these work crews. We look to thee for help and supply our need. And I pray to supply the need of our families that are connected with this church. Those that are here this morning, these that aren't. And the thing they need will be taken care of. If they can't have the luxuries, at least their need will be met. And we pray for Brother Chavers in the hospital this morning that you might take care of him. We thank you wasn't injured any worse than what he was injured. And we pray, Heavenly Father, throughout this day and the days to come, you give us wisdom. Now, Lord, give us wisdom and understanding about this meeting we were going to have. You know we have to walk blind by faith. We have no leadership on it, don't know what to do. We just don't want to inconvenience a lot of people. But if you want the meeting and you want these fellows to come, give us a definite sign, Father, by the grace of God, a definite sign by tomorrow night what to do, and we want to do what you want done. Whatever it is, if you want it shut down, we're willing to shut it down. We pray in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen. Amen. All right, get Romans. I'll show you a starter here on this. Romans. By the way, this morning, that you can't use the bathroom because of progress and evolution. They have a new way of setting up a sewage system where they don't work unless electricity works with a pump. So find an outhouse someplace or something. No, you can use the bathrooms up in the school building. What? Okay, it's open. Now there's just a couple of bathrooms. Is it just downstairs one? All right, the old building and the two-story. So that's one, two, three for me. Four bathrooms, five bathrooms they can use. Yeah, I know. Boy, tell me, man. I don't think you ought to have automatic shift. I think you ought to have windows that roll down. So if your truck and trailer go off the bridge, you don't drown in your car because the electricity don't open the windows. So I'm a reactionary, brother. All right, Romans. Now, on this Mosaic Covenant, this has to do with the final restoration of Israel. And then something said here most people missed. Romans chapter 4, verse 12. And the father of circumcision, that'll be Abraham, to them who are not of the circumcision only, but who also walk in the steps of that faith of our father Abraham, which he hath being uncircumcised. For the promise that he should be heir of the what? How about that? That's a pretty good piece of Palestine, isn't it? The covenant said the Middle East, but that one doesn't there say that. That says the world. In the new heavens and new earth, you know who has the new Jerusalem? The church. You know who has the new heavens? The Gentiles. Guess who has the earth? The Jew. That's why there's all hatred. There's somebody who knows this book much better than I know it. And that's the devil. All right, now we turn to Psalm 83. Psalm 83. And notice the context of... this is a good one for the message this morning, too. The context of the return of Israel to reign over all the earth is the UN trying to take Palestine away from them. Bush and his roadmap. And you get promised a hurricane with it. All right, 83. Keep not thy silence, O God. Hold not thy peace and be not still, O God. For thine enemies, enemies of God, make a tumult. And they that hate thee have lifted up the head. They've taken crafty counsel against thy people, as Israel. Consult against thy hidden ones, the treasure hid in the field. They have said, come, let us cut them off from being a nation, genocide. Get them out and kill them. That the name of Israel may be no more in remembrance. That's Islam, that's Mohammedism, that's Muhammad, that's Arafat, that's the UN of downtown New York. For they are consulted together with one consent, united. They are confederate. You wiped out the Confederacy, let's see, wipe out this one. Have one consent, they're confederate against thee. Who are the tabernacle of Edom? That's Sinaitic Peninsula, Arabians. Ishmaelites, that's Muhammad, the 70 from Ishmael, the Arabians. Moab, that's the Eastern Bank, that's Saudi Arabia. The Hagarines from Hagar, that's Ishmael's mother, she's an Egyptian. That's who's going to wipe out Israel. Saudi Arabia and Egypt, and the descendants of Ishmael. Asher is joined with them, Assyria, that's Iran, between Iran and Iraq. The Philistines, that's Gaza, that's the Gaza Strip. Samson loved a woman in Gaza, down a Philistine down in Gaza. Now, who could have written this mess? Whoever wrote this thing wrote it 1,000 years before Christ was born. He only tells you who's going to try to get rid of them, but names who the people are and when it's going to take place and how it's going to take place. But who reads the Old Testament? Verse, the inhabitants of Tyre, that's up in Syria, north of Lebanon. Asher is joined with them. Asher, that's over Assyria, over Mesopotamia, between Iraq and Iran. Doing them as you did the Midianites. Those are the the sons of Abraham's concubine, the sent away into the east country. And to Sisera, Sisera is a Gentile. Then when you read Sisera in Judges chapter 5, you're reading the second advent. If you're going to do if you're going to do as like, then God's going to do to them what he did in Judges 5. So Judges 5 is the second advent. It's in the Old Testament, but who reads the Old Testament? At Jabin, the book of Kishon, which perished at Endor, they became as dung for the earth, make their nobles like Oreb and Zeb, Midianites. Their princes like Zeb and Zalmunna, Midianites, who said, let us take to ourselves the house of God in possession, synagogues. Now look out. Oh my God, make them like a wheel, as the stubble before the wind. As the fire burneth wood, as the flame setteth the mountains on fire, so persecute them with thy tempest and make them afraid with thy storm. Who? The UN. Trying to get rid of Israel. You know what that means? That means bigger and better things are coming. That means the Lord hadn't turned the rheostat all the way up. And when she does, the next one comes in at 200, and the next one comes in at 250, and then in the tribulation they come in at 230. Yeah. And I'll bless those that bless thee, and curse those that curse thee. And that book is the center of everything that takes place. It's right on that book. Yeah. And that's why you won't get any classes this week or last week. Somebody don't want you learning that book. All right. right, now come to Isaiah. Isaiah chapter 2. Here's Israel in the ascendancy. This is the olive tree back in the right place. And this is why the UN stole this verse from the King James Bible, because it gave the glory to Israel and not to the Gentiles. Isaiah 2, verse 2. It shall come to pass in the last days, the mountain of the Lord's house, that's Mount Zion, shall be established on the top of the mountains and be exalted above the hills, and all nations shall flow into it, Jerusalem. The United Nations will have to assemble there. And many people shall go and say, come ye, let us go up to the mountain of the Lord. It's not Fujiyama. It's not in Medina. It's not in Rome. The mountain of the Lord is not Mount Everest. The mountain of the Lord, to the house of the God of Jacob. Not spiritual Isaac, not circumcised Jew in the heart, all that junk, Jacob. And who is he? He will teach us of his ways, and we will walk in his paths. For out of Zion shall go forth the law, comes back in again. And the word of the Lord comes from Jerusalem, not Medina, not Mecca, not Rome, not New York. It comes from Jerusalem. And he shall judge among the nations, coming back to judge, shall rebuke many people. And there's where the UN began. They left all that out because the reference was to the Lord. So they ran the Lord out of his book and off his mountain, and then stole his scripture and wrote this on the Isaiah wall. Quote, they shall beat their swords in the plowshare, their spears in the pruning hooks. Nation shall not lift up sword against nation, neither shall they learn war anymore, period. They left out God, left out Jacob, left out the mountain, and took the credit. Thieves. Shooting dice for his garments. Are you come out to take me as the thief? You stole something from belong to the Lord. I think sometime, why didn't God send that hurricane through here when all the queer were down there on the beach? Well, the answer is they'd known it coming, they'd have got off the beach. But the Lord said, now you going to welcome those folks, are you? Why don't you just lock up all your hotels and motels over that holiday and shut all the stores all the holiday, and they won't come down here? But listen, man, if they come down here, they will come down by the hundred, and they'll spend money, and the love of money is the rule of all evil, no matter what your new Bible says. And so the Lord says, you want the money, do you? Well, I'll send you a bill. Those fruits had to spend $3 billion to pay for the damage. God said, if you're going to take care of them, I'll take care of you. Amen. All right. Verse 5, O house of Jacob, come ye, let us walk in the light of the Lord. All right, one more you're familiar with. Back to the left, to Psalm 2. Artists' hatred for God manifest by the United States government in New York. Right. And your National Guard sent down another place so you don't kill too many of your own folks. See, I've talked to you about these things. Well, you've been listening to me or not. But I've been traveling with Peacock now for something like 10 years, and he was chief of police of Jacksonville Police. And a law enforcement officer 20 years. I told you what he told me. He said, when all hell finally breaks loose, they won't use your own National Guard against you because you'll have relatives in it. So the National Guard won't be called out. They'll be called in from someplace else. And when the police stuff starts and the armed stuff starts, the armed occupation and the police state set up, the police and armed forces will come from Panama City or from Fort Walton here, and our boys will be sent down there, and then Mobile will send somebody up to Montgomery, and Montgomery will send them down. That way you don't have to shoot your own boys in the National Guard or in the police force. All right, Psalm 2, verse 2. The kings of the earth set themselves, their rulers took counsel together. You just read that in Psalm 83. Took counsel together. Against one, the Lord. They're lining up against God. And against his anointed, Mashiach, Messiah. Let us break their bands asunder, God the Father and God the Son. Cast away their cords from us. He that sitteth in the heavens will weep and mourn, because he loved them so much he wanted to share his love with them. He that sitteth in the heavens shall what? Say it again.
Laugh.
That's the stuff. The Lord shall have them in derision. That's derisive laughter. That ain't comic laughter. That's derisive laughter. That's, you know, that's what that thing is. Oh, God wouldn't do that. Some of you have been witnessing, you've heard people say that. Oh, well, don't bring God in. God couldn't be hiding. Well, God wouldn't let a thing like that happen. Let me tell you something, children. The God of that Bible is the God of history.
Yeah.
And if I know history and know God, God Almighty would wipe out 10 million people and never blink.
That's right. That's right.
He wouldn't give you the time of day.
Right. Amen.
Let me ask you something. You see, I know you know these things, but you don't call them to mind. Don't you think at least 1 million people drowned in the flood?
Yeah.
Don't you know a lot of them were 2 and 3 year old babies?
Yeah.
Don't you know that?
Yeah.
Don't you know when the fire fell on Sodom and Gomorrah, got all the people in wheelchairs
yeah.
and on crutches?
Yeah.
I mean, well, God, swat them out like flies, boy.
Yeah.
You say, well, that's hate stuff. And I said, no. I believe God loved me. I believe Christ died for me. I believe God loved me so well I wouldn't trust nobody but Him. That's how much I believe in the love of God. But I don't underestimate Him. I'll swat you out like a fly, boy. Or me, or anybody else. No respect to person with God. All right, verse 5. Then shall He speak to them in His wrath, and vex them in His hot sore displeasure. Yet have I set my king upon my holy hill. And the Vatican ain't on it. And Medina ain't there, and Mecca ain't there, and Rome ain't there, and New York ain't there. It's in Jerusalem. You want who the king is? Verse 7. Thou art my son. This day have I begotten thee. Not to die for sinners, not to pay for your sin, not so much to love you, to run this world and make you sweat. Look at verse 11. To make you sweat blood, baby. See that thing? You say, well, I mean, you don't. He'll break your head in. Look at verse 9. He'll break your cotton picking head in. Verse 9. That's the passion of Christ. I bet Gibbons didn't give much on that one, did he? You see, it's Second Advent. They say about march in like a lion and out like a lamb. Well, Christ comes in like a lamb the first time, but next time He leaves heaven and goes out, He goes out like a lion. Well, now let's take the Jews' case here in this thing. Joel chapter 3, and when you find Joel, raise your hand, all right? Joel chapter 3. Now, some of you are going to need an index. Some of you teenagers, you haven't looked at that book for a long time. All right, Joel chapter 3. Joel chapter 3, verse 1. For behold, in those days and in that time, I'll bring again the captivity of Judah. They're in it. You're in that time. I'll bring again the captivity of Judah and Jerusalem, and I will gather all nations. United Nations, and bring them down to the valley of Jehoshaphat, Palestine, and plead with them for my people, and not a Christian in the bunch, my people, and my heritage, not a Christian in the lot, Israel, not one saved person in the body of Christ anywhere in the chapter, whom they have scattered among the nations, due to the dispersion, and parted my land, East Bank, West Bank, you get this strip, you get that strip. And He says, I'll bring you down there and deal with you face to face, buddy. And they cast lots for my people, and have given a boy for a harlot and sold a girl for a wine that might drink. And then He goes on and says, because you've taken my silver and gold, 5, and carried into your temples my goodly pleasant things, the children of Judah and the children of Jerusalem have you sold to the Grecians, that you might remove them far from their border. Muhammad don't have a lot in it. Behold, I will raise them up out of the place whither you have sold them and return your recompense upon your head. Now look out. And I will sell your sons and daughters into the hand of the children of Judah and they shall sell them the Sabians to a people far off, for the Lord has spoken it. You go into service to the Jew, and the Jews use you as a slave. Verse 9. That's what they should have put on the UN. On the UN, they should have put verse 9 and verse 10. It's backwards from Isaiah 2, isn't it? They got the wrong place in the King James Bible. They should have got it right there. Isaiah 14. Isaiah 4. This is the Mosaic Covenant. This is how it ends. Isaiah 14. Isaiah 14, verse 1 and 2. It ends with the Jew running the whole world. Well, you talk about Zionism. 14, 1 and 2. For the Lord will have mercy on Jacob and will yet choose Israel and set them in their own land. And the stranger shall be joined with them, and they shall cleave to the house of Jacob, serving them. And the people shall take them and bring them to their place, and the house of Israel shall possess them in the land of the Lord. For servants and handmaids, you're to wait on the Jew, hand and foot. You see why some of these guys are anti-Semitic? The die is already cast. They're going to wind up serving Jews. The Jews are going to be the masters, whose captives they were, and they shall rule over their oppressors. Rule them, boy. And it shall come to pass in the day the Lord shall give thee rest from thy sorrow and from thy fear, from the hard bondage wherein thou hast been made to serve. For 2,000 years they have suffered. And God's going to pay it back and give the Gentiles just what he gave them. Isaiah chapter 60. Isaiah chapter 60. Now how would this, don't you think this should be printed at the front of the News Journal? This would be a good one. They have that big devastation. You ain't seen nothing yet, honey. Isaiah 60, verse 11, on Jerusalem. Therefore thy gate shall be open continually. They shall not be shut day nor night, that men may bring to thee the force of the Gentiles, and their kings may be brought. He said, they'll bow down and lick the dust at his feet. In Psalm 2, you kings better listen and serve the Lord. Serve the Lord with fear and trembling, otherwise he'll blow you off the map. Verse 12. For the nation, United States, and kingdom will not serve thee, shall perish. Those nations shall be utterly wasted. You just get a little touch the last couple of days.
Right.
You say, I was going to look for the Lord to get through? I'll show you. Turn to Isaiah 6. You see, it's in the Old Testament.
Yeah.
You want the second coming of Christ, it's in the Old Testament. Isaiah 6. There's more in the Old Testament in the book on the second coming than is in the book of Revelation. It only has 22 chapters of the second coming. I can show you 50 chapters in the Old Testament deal with the second coming. Isaiah chapter 6. Isaiah chapter 6, the call of the ministry. Verse 8. 6:8. I heard the voice of the Lord saying, whom shall I send? Who will I go for me? For us? Then I said, here am I, send me. And he said, go tell this people, hear ye indeed, but understand not. See ye indeed, but perceive not. Make the heart of this people fat, make their ears heavy, and shut their eyes, lest they see with their eyes and hear with their ears, understand, convert, and be healed. Now in your margin, you should have at least three references of the New Testament on that. Do you, anybody have all three of them? That thing is quoted three times in the New Testament. How many got two of them? How many have one of them? Let me see your hands. That thing in the New Testament three times. Christ quotes it. And it's quoted at the end of the book of Acts, chapter 28, and Paul quotes it in Romans. How did they miss that one? That's the Jews going blind in this dispensation. Look in your margin. But don't you have some reference notes there? How many can find one? Let me see your hands. All right, what's the matter? You don't have reference Bible? Well, I recommend this to text. But if you have a reference, it ought to be in there. All right, now, remember I said just a light touch? Now, you want the full treatment? 11. And I said, Lord, how long in this age with the Jews out of fellowship, torn to pieces, Ruckman is called to preach? How long, Lord? How long I got to preach? He said, I'll tell you how long you got to preach, fella. You preach until the cities be wasted without inhabitants. You preach that long. and the houses without man, and the land be utterly desolate. You preach this looks like a shelled battlefield with nothing left on it. And the Lord hath removed men far away, and there be a great forsaking in the midst of the land. You go till it's over. You go right up the tribulation, boy. And if you're in tribulation, you're going to preach right through the tribulation. All right, Deuteronomy chapter 15, verse 6. Deuteronomy 15, verse 6. Now, these are promises, the final restoration. When they get back, they're going to run the world. Deuteronomy 15, 6. This is a promise. Deuteronomy 15, 6. For the Lord thy God blesseth thee as he promised thee, and thou shalt lend to many nations, but thou shalt not borrow, and thou shalt reign. R-E-I-G-N, no democracy to it. Military dictatorship by a king. Thou shalt reign over many nations, and they shall not reign over you, like they're reigning right now. The Lord didn't lie. He's going to bring it to pass. All right, Zechariah. Zechariah chapter 8. It's a holy book. It's all written by Jews. It's all written by Jews. And the Jew wrote about himself, I'm going to run the world and reign over you, Gentile, tell you what to do and hire you for slaves. And God said, before you do that, we've got to get this thing balanced. No, they said, how's that? Before that, you're going to have to know what it's like to be reigned over and serve as slaves. And that nation had been subject to the Gentiles for 2,000 years and suffered by the million for it. And Lord's not going to give them the promises till they pay the price. That's the law. That's conditional. And they done paid the price. Now we're going to pay it. Zechariah 8. God bless America and all that jazz. Zechariah chapter 8. America's not greater than this book, folks. This book is what made America great. Zechariah chapter 8, verse 7. Thus saith the Lord of hosts, behold, I will save my people from the east country, from the west country. I'll bring them, and they shall dwell in the midst of Jerusalem, and they shall be my people, not a Christian in the lot, not a saved person in the lot out of the church age. And I will be their God in truth and righteousness. All right, same chapter, verse 11. But now I will not be under the residue of this people as in the former days, saith the Lord of hosts, for the seed shall be prosperous, the vine shall give her fruit, the ground shall give her increase, the heaven will give her the dew, and I will call the remnant of these people to possess all things. And it shall come to pass, here we go, as you were a curse among the heathen, dispensation, this one, O house of Judah, house of Israel, so I will save you, and you shall be a blessing, fear not, but let your hand be strong. That's a promise of the future. Zechariah chapter 9. Zechariah chapter 9, verse 9. Now you watch the Lord mess him up here. Boy, if he can't, boy, joke about tricky. Zechariah 9. Zechariah 9, 8. Rejoice greatly, O daughter of Zion. Shout, O daughter of Jerusalem. Behold, thy king cometh unto thee. He is just and having salvation, lowly and riding upon an ass, and upon the colt the foal of an ass. First coming or second coming? You'd think it, wouldn't you? Look at the next verse. Is that what happened after he came in the colt, the foal of an ass? Then why did God put it right after it? See that? See, it's like I taught you. In the Old Testament, they see the first and the second coming together. And there they are right together, just like that. So when Christ comes, and like he does, every Bible-rejecting, Jew-hating liberal says that verse will fulfill at the first coming, so verse 10 has to be spiritual. Why? Verse 9 took place, then verse 10 had to take place at the same time. But it didn't. You got to rightly divide it. That division goes right down there, and the distance between verse 9 and verse 10 is 1900 some years. And the Greek... Now, here's what's going to happen when he comes again. The next verse. And I will cut off the chariot from Ephraim and the horse from Jerusalem, and the battle bow shall be cut off, and he shall speak peace to the heathen, peace on earth from Jerusalem, peace on earth, goodwill to men. Let earth receive her king. Second Advent.
Yeah.
Right together. Come back to Genesis 49 and show it to you again. Just this time a comma is going to flip it out. 49. I think it's a comma. Genesis 49. Yeah, no, it's a semicolon. Genesis 49. I'm telling you, it's put together like something else. Genesis 49:11. Binding his foal to the vine, his ass's colt to the choice vine. First coming, semicolon. He washed his garments in wine, his clothes in the blood of grapes. Second Advent, stomps on him. Have you got a marginal reference by verse 11 to Isaiah 63? Anybody got it? Could I see your hand? Four or five of you? Boy, if they didn't give you a reference there, they sure short-cheated you. Isaiah 63, he's walking in the wine press and getting the blood in his garment, stepping on people at the Advent. In the first part, he got this colt, the foal of an ass that you just read about over there in Zechariah. Oh, and there's Zechariah. All right, Psalm 47. We're about through now. Psalm 47. Psalm 47, verse 1 to 4. Oh, clap your hands, all ye people. Well, they applauded Arafat when he came to the UN with a Kalashnikov or something strapped over his shoulder, a bell of ammunition. They applauded him when he came in, gave him a standing ovation in downtown New York. That was back in 1980. Clap your hands, all ye people. Shout to God with a voice of triumph, for the Lord Most High is sweet and loving and kind. He's terrible. He'll strike you with terror. He's a great king. Over what? Over all the earth. He ain't up in heaven. He shall subdue the people under us, the Jew, and the United Nations under our feet. Like that. That's why Europeans are anti-Semitic and Muslims are anti-Semitic and the United States is getting that way. God, the one that saved you and gave you the passion of Christ and all that stuff, God said, my desire is to take all those nations and make them serve that Jew and put them under his foot.
Amen.
Right there.
Amen.
What are you going to, tear it out? Now, how's that for racial discrimination?
Yeah.
Well, you talk about a bigot. God's the biggest bigot you ever ran into in your life.
Yeah.
He's illegal, like Pope John says. It's unlawful, illegal. You're going to have to get rid of God in this book to get through. This book and God, they're going another direction than the world going.
Yeah.
47:3 shall subdue the people under us, the nation under our feet. He shall choose our inheritance for us, the excellencies of Jacob, whom he loved. There's the business. Verse 7, for God is the king of all the earth. Verse 8, God reigneth over the heathen. Why, not now. He's king of kings, the Lord of lords, and runs things, but he gave this world to the devil. The devil's running it now. The god of this world. He said to Jesus, all these things give me, I can give me whomever I will. Romans chapter 13 says, being in subjection to the powers that be. The powers that be are what? Well, one of them is Satan. Here, Satan isn't around. Here, the ruler on the ground is the Lord himself. God sitteth upon the throne of his glory, of his holiness. The prince of the people are gathered together, even the people of the God of Abraham. For the shields of the earth, they're the nations. They belong to God.
Amen.
He going to get them. He going to run them, and that's going to be it. All right. One more thing. I'll come to Ezekiel, and this is hard stuff here. Ezekiel 40. In the millennium, when the Lord comes back, he comes back to the throne of David at Jerusalem, and he sits on the throne of Mount Zion, the holy hill, and he becomes king of the heathen and reigns over the entire United Nations, what's left of it. And the earth, what's left of it. And at the end of the tribulation, what's left of it is going to be I don't even know what. But I would guess by reading Book of Revelation, about a third killed here and a fifth killed here and half killed here, figuring from 4 billion people, I figure the casualties would be about 2 billion. And that'll be more people killed in those 3.5 years they've been killed in 2,000 years of history and all the battles that have been fought. That's more casualties than clean back to the time of the Greeks and the Romans. And so there won't be much left. What you're going to do, you're going to go to an agrarian economy, to put it doublespeak. Agrarian economy means you don't need factories anymore, or automobiles or airplanes. You get back to the ground. You get back to 4 crops a year. Reaper overtake the plower. 4 crops a year, you get grapefruit this big. If you're an Afro-American, don't miss the millennium. The watermelons will be that big. And when it comes to transportation, if you want transportation with about, on this earth, a minimum of 80 million replicas of Jesus Christ, they're like the angel of the Lord in the resurrection, being the children of the resurrection. 80 million, you won't have trouble getting anywhere. I mean, by the time old Elijah disappeared, they said, well, the Spirit of the Lord picked him up and carried him off someplace. Spirit picked up Philip after he baptized that Ethiopian eunuch, whipped him off someplace. And the angel of the Lord can pick you up and take you off where you want to go in Mach 3 or Mach 4, whatever it is, and you'll be back to the ground. All right, now when they come back, they're in Jerusalem. So here in Ezekiel chapter 40, here is the rebuilding of the temple. And look at that thing in chapter 40, verse 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12, 13, 14, 15, 16, 17, 18, 19, 20, 21, 22, 23, 24, 25, 26, 27, rebuilt temple. All right, chapter 41, rebuilt temple. Verse 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12, 13, 14, 15, 16, 17, 18, 19, 20, 21, 22, 23, 24, 25, 26, 27. All right, chapter 44. What's the temple for? It's for sacrifice. Verse 10. The Levites, that's the Mosaic law. That's Deuteronomy and Numbers. The Levites that are gone away far from me when Israel went astray, which went astray, they shall even bear their iniquity. Yet they shall be ministers of my sanctuary, having charge of the gates of my house, and ministering, they shall slay the burnt offering, done away with in Hebrews, and back again, and sacrifice for the people, with one effectual sacrifice in Hebrews 10, never to be repeated, it comes back in again. Time to take the faculty at Pensacola Christian College, and Crown College, and Bob Jones, and Tennessee Temple, and tie their tail in knots and kick them and let them run loose. I only know one scholar ever got this right. You got his book over in the bookstores, Clarence Larkin's book. Amen. All right, now here we go. Verse 13, holy things, holy places. Verse 15, but the priests, the Levites, the sons of Zadok, there's a bunch that God's going to use, that kept the charge of my sanctuary when the children of Israel went astray, they shall come near to minister to me, and they shall stand before me to offer me the fat and the blood. I thought the blood had already been shed, blotted out your sins. I thought the blood of Jesus Christ, what they're doing, sacrifice and blood. They're doing it. There it is. Isn't that something? And verse 24. And in thy controversy they shall stand in judgment. They shall judge it according to my judgment. They shall keep my laws and statutes. There goes that thing again. And that stuff is all coming back in again. And there it is given. It's coming back in again. And I don't know anybody that even believe that. But Larkin, and Larkin gets it right. All right, turn to Colossians. And here's the New Testament that tells you it's going to happen. And it's been removed from all the New Testament, so you can't tell it's going to happen. Colossians chapter 2. If you have any Bible, the King James Bible, it'll mess with this verse, so you won't get the meaning in it. But in Colossians chapter 2, Paul told you those things were going to come back in after the Advent. Colossians 2, verse 14. Blotting out the handwriting of orders against us, going none away with the law. 16, let no man judge you in meat. What you eat can't affect your salvation. Or in drink. What you drink can't affect your salvation. in respect of a holy day. It can't affect your salvation, or the new moon, or the Sabbath days, which are a shadow of things to come. What? Holy days, new moon, Sabbath days, meat and drink. Does anybody have a reference there to anything in Ezekiel in the margin? I'll almost bet you do it. What does it give you?
45:17.
Is that in the print you've got? That's for me. That's what I thought. I'll be willing to bet money that you couldn't find it in any published Bible. They don't want you to learn that book. All right, Ezekiel 45. That's the reference. Now go back and look at that thing. And in that thing, you'll find every item that Paul listed. Ezekiel 45. Ezekiel 45, verse 17. And it should be the princess part to give burnt offerings, meat offerings, drink offerings, new moons, and Sabbaths. Man, here there isn't one Bible that's been printed by any printing company in 500 years that would tell you what the verse is referring to. Because they'd spiritualized all the Old Testament and done away with it so it wouldn't come to pass. Devil's got a lot of power, don't he? All right, that does the Mosaic Covenant. Next time, we'll get something a little bit more cheerful. The Davidic Covenant. The Davidic Covenant. All right, y'all take a break. All right, from Psalm 2. Father, bless us now today, and we're thankful we got by as easy as some of us got by, and we feel for those that suffered worse, and especially the poor folks didn't have much. We know a lot of them are wiped out, and we know there are many Christian in Pensacola today and lost and saved have problems we don't have because you weren't as merciful to them as you were to us. And we give you all the glory and all the honor for not tearing this building down we're in and not touching the bookstore, not touching the mission store, not touching the school and taking care of the gym and all that you did for us. We're not neglectful and we're thankful, and we just pray, Father, you'll open the eyes of our stupid leaders before it's too late, and give us some leaders who will side with Israel, your people, to gain your blessing. And we pray in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen.
Amen.
All right, now we got through the Mosaic Covenant last time. Now we're on what we call the Davidic Covenant. These are covenants, are arrangements that God has made with man. And I hate to keep repeating myself, but there's always a Sunday where some new folks come in and join the studies, and you don't quite understand how important this stuff is. And so I go back and reiterate and go through what I've been before to kind of bring you up to date. There are seven major covenants God makes with man. When I say God makes with man, I'm not talking religion. I'm saying history of the one that made the galaxies and the constellations, the nebula and the star clusters. That one has taken time out to consider his creation and deal with his creation and tell him what he wants him to know. And that's what this book is about. And it's a history of God dealing with man. It isn't a history of